The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 15, it said, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. And so God expects that we should know the holy scriptures from a child. The scriptures have the power to restore and to correct our lives, but it is something God expects us to begin to engage from a child. And he told us the end of engaging the scripture. He said, number one, it is able to make you wise. And it's not just wisdom in the ways of the world. He said, it's able to make thee wise unto salvation. So the kind of wisdom that scriptures furnish is one that brings salvation and brings meaning to your existence. This is why the enterprise of engaging the scriptures is what preoccupies us as believers. In fact, if you read verse 16 of that scripture, he began to give you the compartment of the errand of scriptures that brings advantage to your life. He said, for all scripture, not some, all, he said, is profitable, or is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable. Of course, he had to tell you that it was inspired by God so that you appreciate the authority of scripture. It's not a product of human intelligence. It is a product of divine inspiration. The Bible speaking in 2 Peter 1 verse 20 and 21. It said, knowing this first, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. It said, for prophecy came not in old time by the wisdom of man. It said, holy men of God, they spake as they were carried. My goodness. They were granted access to the celestial so that they could harness wisdom that is ancient. Things that existed before the foundations of the earth was communicated to finite mind. Meanwhile, these are infinite realities. And so when God, through his wisdom, compressed the words into articulate, communicable realities, and you interact with them, you must understand that they are bigger than your circumstances. So the authority of scripture is the fact that it was inspired. Holy men of God, is that they spake as they were inspired. On the strength of the authority of scripture, the Bible said, it is profitable. So every time you engage scripture, you are not wasting your time. The engagement of scripture brings a wisdom that saves. And when you truly begin to engage scripture, there are four major compartments that the Bible says would harness and orchestrate the profit that you have. It said, number one, it is profitable for doctrine. So scripture will give you a mindset, a set of belief that will redefine your reality. Because God knows that your interaction with your word has educated you, and most likely erroneously. So when the errand of scripture comes your way, the first thing is to reprogram your thought pattern. So it gives you a new order of understanding. In fact, this is one of the things we are dealing with in the series we are currently on. Because we come from different backgrounds, and different backgrounds have different teachings, different belief systems. But when the scripture comes, it begins to bring you into superior reality, superior understanding. Because the word is light. And when we speak of light, we are not just talking the illumination you see via an electric bulb. We are talking about a reality that is as ancient as God, because God himself is light. So it's giving you knowledge from the foundation of reality. What is older than what your ancestors know? The confusions that your ancestors dabbled into on account of the wisdom that the spirit that whispered to them, God is going to uninstall it by giving you another belief system. Maybe your ancestors told you to be selfish so that you can go ahead. But when the scripture comes, it brings you a new philosophy, that the liberal soul shall be made fat. He said, him that watereth shall by himself be watered unto. What your ancestors taught you as touching selfishness is consistent with your fallen nature. But the scripture comes to reverse it. It comes to give you a superior understanding that you don't keep to become mighty. You spread. The liberal soul shall be made fat. He said, him that watereth. There's no way you would have come about this knowledge, because within the context of human civilization, selfishness is the modus operandi. But the wisdom of God has come to give you something that is beyond the realms of the stars, where man cannot enter. Only the oracles of God comes from those dimensions. He said it gives you a new mindset. It's profitable for doctrine. And then he said, number two, beyond doctrine, is profitable for reproof. Because he has authority, he can correct you. No one of us is too big for God to look at us in the face and say you are wrong. Men might tremble because of your stature. Men might tremble because of your provision. But when you come before the one who is called Creator, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Even the money you have is part of what he created. The stature, your ranking, are all facilities and infrastructures that he permitted on account of the wisdom of creation. So there's nothing you have that can intimidate him. So he can look at you with the stature of a giant and he say, my son, sit down and learn. This is a most excellent way. It can correct you. He said he will rebuke you. It will reprove. This thing is wrong. Do the right thing. And then it will not only reprove, it will correct. So it will show you the way to go. And then he said, it will not only correct, it will also instruct. So it will guide you. So God does not just come to rebuke you and then you are broken. No, he will gather you together. He will set your feet on course so that you can walk into the light that makes men great. This is what the scripture has come to do. And so God began to admonish us, is that you must engage it from a child. Now, in case you didn't engage it from a child, no problem. At least you are here now. So it's time to unlearn and to relearn. Glory to God. So we are sitting at the feet of the master to give us counsels that are superior to that which human ingenuity can produce. We are sitting before him that is light indeed to shine upon our soul. He said there is a spirit in man. He said the breath of the Almighty. Giveth him understanding. My prayer is that you will not only be fascinated by what the presence comes to bring, but you will be given understanding that will redefine your life. Because the end of this scripture, the Bible said, the goal is that the man of God. That means when you interact with the scripture, the first thing that happens is that you become a man of God. You know, a man of God is not a bishop. Ecclesiastically speaking, yes. But when he speaks of a man of God, he's talking about one whose essence has been remodified. Whose essence has been re-engineered. That means when you touch that man, you touch God. When you scratch him, you scratch God. So the scripture does not only educate, it models God into you. It fills you so much with God that one in substance, you become like God. He said that the man of God. So interacting with the scripture already guarantees that I will become like God. That the man of God might be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. You come to a point where you lack nothing. And on the strength of your wholeness in God, you now have capacity to run divine errand and to fulfill divine purpose. This is why the limitations of your environment will no longer have the power to define the outcome of your life. You can live above darkness, and darkness becomes a platform through which you shine. All scripture. You have to do business with the word. It says, "Search ye out of the book of the Lord and read." He said, none of these things will fail. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. He said, the Spirit has gathered it. The things that we look upon, they are sacred. Oh, when Jesus was speaking, he said, you are blessed that your eyes see these things and that your ears hear them. Because many generations longed to hear whispers from the voice of God, but they were not given the privilege. You are in a generation where it has been concentrated, structured, methodically, so you can interact with it and you can become. Oh, when Luke was talking, in Luke chapter 1 from verse 1, he said, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things that are most surely believed among us, even them that were eyewitnesses and ministers of the world, he said, when they communicated these things to us in order, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding, to write unto you, most excellent Theophilus. So it is possible to have perfect understanding. And I know that this is the generation that we have perfect understanding. You will have it. Nothing will stop you. Some of you, a time will come when you rise, you will be like the light. You will shine like the stars of heaven. The Bible said, arise, shine. He said, for your light is come, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. He said, Gentiles shall come to thy light. kings shall come to the brightness of your rising. Even the mightiest among men, they will behold you as a spectacle. They will run to you so that they can find meaning and essence. That's when they will realize that a man's value is not in the multitude of his possession. Those who have touched things that are sacred, they will represent the immortals among men. This is where God is taking us to. And this is why he exposes us to his oracles day by day, so that at the end, everyone might be furnished. And I believe, even a little one shall become a thousand. A small one shall become a great nation. For a time shall come when men will rise and they will stand like cities. He said, you are a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. He said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine among men. A day will come when one of us will have the strength of a thousand. You will enter a city and you will arrest it. He said, Philip went down to Samaria. He preached Christ there. The city was full of joy. He didn't go with money. He didn't go with human connection. He went with something that money could not buy. When he entered that city, he came with a witness that heaven could support, that heaven could back. And when he spoke, even the angels of heaven walked among the streets of Samaria. And dimensions that were uncommon among men began to find expression. The Bible said demons screamed out of people. The lame walked, and suddenly the whole city was full of joy. But that was because a man came with the oracles of heaven. You don't have to be fair. You don't have to be black. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be young. All you need is to catch something from heaven. And God has stewarded it towards you by reason of the word of the Lord. Say, thy word is a light unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. Oh, yeah. And your ability to access and to harness the truth of scripture is one of the surest pathways to the realms of reality. That's why it says to awake, awake thou that sleepest, rise up from the dead. He said, Christ will give you light. The word came to give you light so that you can rise up and walk in corridors that are immortal, realms that cannot be corrupt. This is when you can punish a reality that can bring deliverance unto Jacob. This is your heritage. But holy men must be quickened. It's a time we feel to speak of Gideon, to speak of Barak, to speak of Jephthah, to speak of Samuel, David, and the prophets. By reason of their interaction with him that dwells in light, they caught something. He said, who through faith subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. He said, they quenched the violence of fire. Weak men were made valiant in battle. He said, they put to flight the armies of the alien. Guess what? That list has not ended. They are still chronicling the names of the sons of men who shall become the sons of God. And you are one of those men. You are one of those men. Sit down, let's step down a little. You know, we are dealing with a very serious subject. Walking from reality. Living from reality. Because most of all, circumstances, the devil has used circumstances to step us down and to force us to live what is not our reality. And we have lived it so long that it has redefined who we are. And so the time has come for us to consort that which cannot be defined, so that we can find ourselves. No man can tell you your reality. No circumstance can tell you your reality. The only way to find who you are is to go back to the substance through which you were framed. Because only then can you find that which cannot be defied, that which cannot be updated, and that which cannot be re-engineered by any power below the rankings of God. And the only thing that has that level of stature is the Word. And so tonight, as we look into the Word again, I want you to believe what you are going to hear, because it will change you. It will change your circumstance, and it will make you a blessing. You know, I heard the brother who was sharing testimony, probably in the spirit of humility. He said, "Small me." No. The one who made you does not see you like that. In the spirit of humility, it is okay to be small in your own eyes. But don't address yourself as small, because there are other spirits that are listening. There are other spirits. And so tonight, my spirit is charged. And when I'm charged, I just want to flow by inspiration. I belong to the family of Yahweh. I am standing on the altar of the Lord. I am standing on the altar of Jerusalem. To Yeshua, who is the Word of God. I belong
to the family of Yahweh. I am standing on the altar. I am standing on the altar of Jerusalem.
Try to break down my thoughts so that somebody can write. So we have been dealing with a subject we've titled Living from Reality, and tonight we are going to approach it from the aspect of kingdom principles. I showed you there are many gangways to accessing reality, because upon the fall, the ecosystem of man's existence is not what God planned. You study Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 3, there are five things we are going to find that God instituted into the creation program designed to facilitate and to define man's outcome. Number one was God's nature. He said in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our own image." The word image there is the word Salim. It speaks of God's essence. In fact, the real word translated image is the word idol. You know, when you go to a shrine and you find these artifacts that were designed through demonic intelligence, able to host spirit, so that when you want to talk to those spirits, you stand before those artifacts, and those artifacts contain and traffic the reality of those spirits. That's the technology God did in the garden. When he created man to be able to trap his essence, so that when you are looking for God, meeting man will become God's destination. Man would have become the vehicle through which the essence of God could be interacted with. So the word Salim is the word image. So it speaks of a vessel that contains divine glory and divine essence. The second thing that scripture shows us in Genesis 1:26 is his likeness. It says, let us make man in our own likeness. The word likeness is the word demoteia. And the word demoteia means a model. The real word is a model. You know, the way an organization, maybe a car factory, decides to build a brand of cars, and then they decide to build one first as a model of that car. So when they want to showcase the beauty and the spectacle that that car has, they project that model. To give you an idea, the excellency of the vehicle, one is created, and that vehicle now becomes the instrument by which you can weigh and quantify the intelligibility of the company, the intelligence of the company. The creativity of the company is modeled and routed through that one vehicle that is the model. So when God created man, man was supposed to be the zenith of his wisdom. So when you want to find out the creative power of divinity, interacting with the man will give you your destination. Praise God. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 8 verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? He said, you made him a little lower than the Elohim. In fact, the beauty of man's creation is not just that he has glory. It's the way God was able to hide the glory in dust. It's a technology that no angel could understand. Because naturally, glory is something that always excels. But God decided to put the glory in that vessel. So you can meet a man who appears ordinary, but the whole of divinity is trapped on his inside. It's a type of technology that could not be understood. In fact, God himself speaking, he said, I'm not only inside you. He said, I've put eternity in your heart. So the vastness of eternity is all captured together and locked within the tablet of a man's heart. So man becomes the zenith of the manifestation of divine wisdom and intelligence. So when God created man, he expected a being that could convey his essence. So man should have become God in motion. Man should have become the revelation of the zenith of God's wisdom. That's why God is not surprised when men invent things. Now, the invention we are doing is in a falling state. Now, imagine what will happen if we rise to our full celestial essence. But God is not surprised, because we model his wisdom. And that's not all. The Bible said God decided to go a bit further, and he gave man his authority. Genesis 2:18, he said, God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. So he gave man the right and the power to exercise divine governance upon the face of the earth. So when you want to find God's will, when you want to find God's purpose, when you want to interact with God's power, the vehicle through which that is communicated into the frame of human reality or visible reality is the man. That's why man is the only being God gave the power for articulate speech. Because words are not primarily for communication. There are different ways to communicate without talking. In the realm of God, you can communicate through thought. So talking is not primarily for communication. That's why the first time God used words, he wasn't talking to anybody. He was creating. Because word is an instrument of governance. Word is an instrument of dominion. That you can talk is because your word can vehicle reality into a space or a realm that you desire. So I can move a demon from one location to another by talking. I can transmit divine verities like healing, like favor, from one location to another by talking. A man may be stranded in life, and then you see a patriarch show up and say, your heavens are open. And you are wondering, what are you doing? He's not talking. He's exercising government. He's bringing dominion into. Did you study your Bible? Man could change things by talking. Joshua stood in the midst of battle. You think he's caricature. And they say, let the sun remain still upon the mountains of Ajalon. Let the moon remain still upon the valley of Gibeon. And the constellations were binded by the utterance of a man. How did the sun hear him? When Moses was violated, he said, except I'm not a man of God, let the earth open her mouth and swallow you up. and the earth obeyed, because he wasn't communicating, he was releasing authority. Wars are for governance. Wars are for dominion. When God gave you the power to talk, he made you an institution of power. He made you a being of authority. And that's not all. God still decided to create a garden called Eden, and he put the man there. So the man's natural habitat is not a building. If he was created in the image of God, how can you trap him in a building? Because even God himself, his habitat is not a building. He said, how can you trap the Most High in tents built by the hands of man? Because God dwells in light. The real habitat of God is light. And so when God created the man, he gave him an original habitat. And the habitat he gave the man is called Eden. Is the atmosphere of divine presence. That's why you come alive when you enter God's presence. Some of you came for this service depressed. All of a sudden, as prayers were going on, the dew started coming down. As worship was going on, you forgot that you were depressed. You forgot that you had a challenge. Because when you enter your habitat, limitations disappear. Impossibilities disappear. In that realm, your wings can come out. You can fly. It's a day that wait upon the Lord. They renew their strength. The things that overwhelm you, suddenly, when you enter God's presence, strength begins to rise. You can't tell where it's coming from, but every cell in your body suddenly begin to carry out a protocol that you yourself cannot understand. Life surges out of you. Wisdom surges out of you. Strength surges out of you. What is going on? You have entered your habitat. It's that when they run, they are not weary. When they walk, they don't faint. What has gone on? They have entered their habitat. So when God created man, he created him to live in the presence. That's why when they came out of Egypt, the first place to go to was not Canaan. Canaan is still not the place. The real place was the Shekinah. So the moment they came out of Egypt, the Bible said God went before them as a pillar of cloud in the day and as a pillar of fire in the night. Under that cloud, they lacked nothing. Their shoes grew with them. Their clothes did not go old. No nation could defeat them. They could use stone and destroy an army. They didn't have lack in the wilderness. The Bible said they tested not why he led them through the desert. It said he cursed the rock. He cleaved the rock and water came out for them. When they needed bread, angels' bread was supplied. When they needed meat, the wind brought quails into their camp. And it was so surplus that they were commanded not to save. That means tomorrow is guaranteed. In the presence, tomorrow is what? Guaranteed. My tomorrow is guaranteed. I'm not perturbed. I may not know tomorrow, but the one that owns tomorrow, I'm living in his hand. He carries me day by day. That's who you are. That's who you are. Oh, him in the air. That's who you are. That's who you are. Oh, him in the air. That's who you are. That's who you are. Imagine if you are manifesting glory, revealing God's excellency and power, regulating God's authority, carrying God's presence everywhere you go. Tell me which nation can despise you. Tell me which spirit can undermine you. Tell me which circumstance can defile you. And God also planted a tree, Genesis 2:9, in the midst of the garden for man to eat so that his process of metamorphosis will be completed. That was when the devil said, if I allow this, something will go wrong. And using the will of the man, he made him to rebel against God. But because he couldn't attack the man, he didn't have the capacity to so do. So he had to come to make the man choose to willfully and willingly rebel against God. And truncated the process. From that day, man fell from reality. Man began to walk in another order of existence. The order of facts. So the things happening to him were no longer the things God created to happen to him. And so man has two major realms of existence. Either he's functioning in fact or he's functioning in reality. And the reason for our teaching is to remind us that no matter how long we have walked in fact, fact is not our reality. Please sit down. And so we want to study using the infallible word of God to find the protocol for journeying back from fact into reality. We will never accept fact to become our reality. You know, the word reality is the word aletheia. John 16, verse 13. Jesus lived with the disciples, and when you study, although they were walking together, they were living in two different worlds. So when Jesus was about to depart, he told them, I won't leave you in this world where you are living, believing God for mercy drops. I will vehicle you back into your reality. So he said, if you read from verse 12, he said, I have yet many things to say unto you. He said, but you cannot bear them. Because these are not realities to you. They are things of another aeon. You can't capture them in the state where you are. He says, so beyond telling you those things, I will create a way for you to come in. He said, how be it? When the spirit of reality is come, he said, he will guide you into all reality. He said, for he shall not speak of himself. He said, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you the things to come. So one of the things God wanted us to have was a transition, a migration from the things that are to the things that ought to be. But you see, unfortunately, many Christians have not come yet into reality. And so this evening, again, we continue to examine the scripture to find out how do we journey. Why we don't deny fact? We are refusing fact from dominating us. I told you, a fact is that which describes a condition that is presently observable, but it is not necessarily consistent with what God says. A fact can change because the only thing consistent is what God says. So reality, on the other hand, beyond what is apparent, beyond what is observable, reality reveals what exists according to God's word, God's purpose, God's covenant, and God's eternal counsel. Fact is what is presently observable. Reality is what exists according to God's word, God's purpose, God's covenant, and God's eternal counsel. A good example is the life of, is what we see in the life of Abraham. What was the fact with Abraham? Abraham was impotent. What was the fact with Abraham? His wife Sarah was barren. What was the fact with Abraham? He had no child. But when you shift into God's reality, God wasn't seeing all of those. From God's plane of reference, God meets an impotent man at 75 with a barren wife, having no children. And God said, I have made you the father of many nations. And he said, in thee shall the families of the earth be blessed. A point came, even Abraham could not rationalize it. How can you be calling me father of nations when I'm impotent, my wife is barren, I have no child? But God was not moved. Because reality is never intimidated by fact. You know why? Fact is subject to change. Reality is constant. Give it time. Change the condition. Fact will change. But whether time or condition is altered, reality remains consistent and sacrosanct. So reality is never intimidated by fact. When you read your Bible, you are going to see many contrasts between fact and reality. But you see, the problem of the believer is the problem of migration. I give you a few very quickly. Number one, study men. One predominant fact you will find is sickness. But when you go into scripture, reality will always insist that man is healed. The man of God. 1 Peter 2:24. He said, by his stripes you were healed. And then you are thinking, that stripe happened when he was in the earth. He said, Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. So as far as reality is concerned, the child of God is not subject to sickness. That's why he said, let no one in Zion say, I am sick. So there are people who are living the fact of sickness. There are people who have migrated to the reality of divine health. That fact is observable in the life of people does not mean you should accept it as your reality. Never. Read the Bible. You will find that the fact of men is that man is weak. But the reality is that in God we are strong. The Bible said, let the weak say, I am strong. He's not psyching you. He's telling you, although that fact exists with men, but those of you who are in me, strength is your destination. Strength is your heritage. Strength is your reality. And so it is your choice either to accept the fact of weakness, whether mental weakness, emotional weakness, spiritual weakness, or what have you. And it is also your choice to say, listen, I am migrating today. I'm leaving fact and I am stepping into reality. The fact remains that men are guilty. Guilty of many things, sin inclusive. But the reality is that in Christ, man is justified. Now, there are many people who are in Christ who still walk with the consciousness of guilt. But Paul said, who can bring any charge against God's elect? In fact, Romans 5:1, it said, being freely justified by faith, we have peace with God. But do you know that there are many people who are not able to exercise their faith today because of guilt? They have repented, but they still carry it. After 20 years, they tell you, the reason why I'm not prospering is that in 1995, I did this, I did that. Are you still doing it? No. But the guilt has traveled for 31 years. And some even preach it, undermining the power of the finished works of Christ. And so many are limited. Study your Bible. The fact remains that men are susceptible to lack. Many people are walking in lack. But the reality is that in Christ, we have been brought into abundance. The question is, have you journeyed? He said, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 9. Rich as he was, he became poor that you and I might be made rich. The question is, why are we still in lack? We have not journeyed. Because there are protocols. There are always protocols, always precursors that occasions the transition. And so when you find the believer, at the end of the day, the best qualification of a believer is a religious man. Because he can never model that which he claims to believe. And so something is wrong. When you now probe it, he now reduces his lack of transition and ability to be the witness that God calls him. He reduces it into a charade of piety. Lack is not humility. Sickness is not humility. Failure is not humility. You have not yet transited. And what God expects of you is that you must transit, and you must transit now. Study men. The fact is that many are living in fear. Get close to people, have conversation with them. They're either afraid of violence, or they're afraid of hell, or they're afraid of sickness, or they're afraid of uncertainty. Men walk with fear. But the reality is that he has given us a spirit that is not of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, of boldness, of love, of a sound mind. But there are people who are still trapped in fear. So what I'm teaching you here is beyond just hearing some scriptures and then following the rhythm of the service and having excitement for a period of time and then step out and falling back to the realm of fact. I'm showing you that it's possible for you to come up here. And I am giving you the structures that will make it happen. Because while fact exists, reality also exists. And reality is always superior to fact. Everywhere there is sickness, there is divine health. Everywhere there is weakness, there is strength. Everywhere there is guilt, there is justification. Everywhere there is lack, there is abundance. Everywhere there is condemnation, there is also the liberty that comes in the finished works of Christ. Everywhere there is defeat, there is the more than conqueror. Everywhere there is ordinary, there is the chosen generation. I'm not ordinary. I will not, in a bid to show humility, reduce myself to ordinary life. I am not ordinary. The Bible said you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are God's special person, called forth to manifest the praise of God. I am not ordinary. I'm a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Therefore, I'm an ambassador of Christ. I'm not ordinary. I have the Holy Ghost at work on my inside. The Spirit of the ageless life lives and expresses himself through me. I'm not ordinary. I have the mind of Christ. I think beyond the frequency of men. I am not ordinary. I will not, in a bid of humility or human approval, say we are all ordinary men. I'm not an ordinary man. The Bible refutes it, and I accept what the Bible says. Not ordinary. Everywhere there is ordinary, there is the chosen generation. Everywhere there is fear, there is a sound mind, and there is boldness. Everywhere there is human limitation, there is also God's sufficiency. The question is, will you migrate? The essence of our teaching is to show you the vehicles that occasion migration. And I said the first is the Word of God. When God speaks, the goal is to frame your reality. Genesis 1, verse 1 to 3. When God started speaking, he began to create. The Word of God is for creation before it is for communication. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of the Lord hovered upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Light be." When God is talking to you, he's not informing you. He's recreating your world. That's why anybody who will migrate from fact to reality must be somebody who has become a frequency, an antenna that captures the frequency of divine utterance. Divine utterance can make a charlatan a wonder because it can recreate your world. The things you are hearing now are not just informing you. They are entering your world and recreating them. Because it's the Word of God. Number two, I said to live in reality, you must accept the legality of the realm. That is the substitution of Jesus for you in all ramification. If you don't know it, and if you don't accept it, you can't walk in reality. This is the undoing of many people. They are praying, they are fasting, but things are not working. Why are things not working? They are trying to attain it by the excellency of their strength or the works that they are engaging in. But that does not have regard in God's realm. If you want to manifest and to function in reality, the first thing that must happen is for you to accept and to adopt that which God said concerning you. And I said, number three, for you to come into reality, you must come to terms with your identity in God. Because a man without identity, anything that is put on him becomes his identity. The reason why you can and will walk in reality is as you begin to rediscover yourself in God. Once upon a time, I used to think all there was about me is the name Oropo. So when you have needs, you search through the whole lexicon of the Oropos. If there's nobody who can bring answer, then better know that it's finished. Then once upon a time, I thought my whole reality was an Idoma man. So anything you are doing, you say, well, nobody has done it before. And then if you are able to do 1 inch above what other Idomas have done, you have arrived. So we ended up with a lot of local champions, myself inclusive. Until a point came, I realized this thing is beyond nativity. My identity is beyond where I came from. Where I came from is the port where I arrived. But nobody arrives the country and live in the airport. The airport is not your whole reality. See, there are many airports that are beautiful, but airport is a limitation. You need to go to Doha and see what an airport looks like. But no matter how beautiful the airport is not your identity. So you have to come out from where you landed from. I know some of you, you know, especially those who are in the Western world, they take so much pride in their race. Oh, I'm German. Oh, I'm American. That's beautiful. Thank God for what some persons have done. But the reality is beyond where you came from. Once upon a time, I thought I was Nigerian and that was it. Until having traveled a little, I started seeing the limitations of a Nigerian. And I realized there is more. That was when I opened the book where my essence was captured. And I began to see things that no Idoma man is. I began to see things that no Nigerian is. It was from that book that I saw that I was a citizen of heaven. And the last time I checked, no nation compares to heaven. No passport compares to salvation. The last time I checked, it said you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to an innumerable company of angels. Hebrews 12, verse 22 to 24. You have come. It didn't say you are coming. I'm there, sir. You have come to Mount Zion. It said, but ye are come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. So when we say Jerusalem, of course we pray for the physical Jerusalem, but there is a Jerusalem that is above, that is the mother of us all. You have come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company. So my help is not only among men. I thought if I needed help, I needed to find somebody that also carries the name Oroko. I thought if I needed help, I needed to see another black man. Until I now realize I'm in the company of uncountable angels. Hey! Meriate astafaritai. Parakaros takrediga. So there are things I do that I cannot communicate with the angelic. There are things I do that angels now travel with me. No wonder I have favor that I cannot understand. That means when I come to a place, the perfumery is beyond the cologne that I have put on. There are other fragrances that the people interact with. They can't explain why. They don't expect to see somebody like me. But now that they have seen me, they have no choice but to accept me. It says, strangers, we stand to build your walls. No, strangers don't do that. Every stranger has his own business. But when you are coming in a company of the angelic, then even strangers have no choice. He said, those who don't know you, they will come from a far land and they will serve you. How are these things possible? They are not cognitively right. They are not rationally applicable. But you have come to an innumerable company of angels. And it didn't stop there.
He now went further. He said to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn that is written in heaven. Oh, so it's not just about encounter Jesus anymore. It means everybody that was part of the body of Christ from when it was instituted, I am still in their company. No wonder I say things that sound like Paul. No wonder I say things that sound like Daniel. No wonder I have wisdom like Solomon. No wonder I have wisdom like Christ. No wonder sometimes I demonstrate power like Elijah. And sometimes beyond Elijah, like Jesus himself, like Paul, like Peter. So I can traverse realms. There are times when you look at me, it's like I'm living 2,000 years ago. Because I can enter into the economy of that which was. And then I can enter into the economy of that which is. And then I can also enter the economy of that which is to come. Because in that church, the head is the one who is, who was, and who is to come. That's why he said, you have handled the power of the age that is to come. I don't take pride. Oh, this is my denomination. I am this, I am that. No. I am part of the general assembly of the church of the firstborn. I'm in the same church with Paul. I'm in the same church with Peter. I'm in the same church with Thomas. I'm in the same church with all of them. Now, in case you think it's not true, read further. He said to God, the judge of all. He said to the spirit of just men. To the spirit of just men made perfect. Look at me and say, you are a young man. Is that your peri? Because we are connected to generations. We are connected to dispensations. We are connected to diverse civilizations. I can go like this and hear from Daniel. Come like this and hear from Paul. Go like this and hear from Isaiah. Go like this and hear from Peter. Then go like this and hear from Jesus, the head of the church. Senekina Kaletos.
Oh, Yeshua, who is the Word of God? Oh, Yeshua, who is the Son of God? Through my Jesus, through His Word.
You don't hear people like us say that city is hard. No city is hard. Not one. If Philip needs to join me, he will join me. Whatever it is he did in Samaria, I will do it here. And then what are we talking? I'm part of the general assembly. Do you know what the general assembly of the church of the firstborn is? No, you have not seen excellence, sir. All of the wisdoms manifested by sons of God, there is a place where they are curated. All of the powers manifested by sons of God, there is a place where they are curated. All of the favor that the sons of God have manifested, there is a place. And the Bible says, I have come there. And I'm at liberty to draw whichever I want. To draw. I have come there. So, when we say church is beyond this beauty, we are talking the church that is written in heaven. He said, you have come there. You have come there. Who told you any king can intimidate me? What did Moses know that he confronted Pharaoh? What did Daniel carry that he confronted Nebuchadnezzar? It's available where I'm living. I've come to the spirit of just men made perfect. The same dimension that was hosted by one is still present. Oh, Songs of Solomon chapter 4 verse 4. The Bible said that tower is like the neck of David. And he said upon it are the armors of many warriors. Many warriors. Those armors. Thousand soldiers. Thousand shields and bucklers. Every mantle you know is still present. And you can wear them from time to time, depending on the purpose that you are fulfilling per time. Who told you can be frustrated in business? Who told you can be frustrated in government? Unless there is nobody
in the general assembly that has modeled that dimension before. And there's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. Nothing new. You must live in reality. And then he went further. In case I have shortcomings, in case I have limitation, next verse, in case there is something that will speak against me, he said, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. So when I am I'm in my manifestation, you can't bring any charge to condemn me. And to Jesus, while the Holy Ghost is empowering me to live right, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling. Abel says condemnation. Abel says payback. Abel says judging. But the blood of Jesus said forgiven. Atesis, washed away. Expiation and propitiation.
Citizen of Zion, part of the church that is written in heaven, then you are a son. Then you are a priest. Then you are a king. Then you are a witness. And then you are an ambassador. I taught you last week what all of these represent. I won't go over it again. But if you will walk in reality, you know, it's because you are a king that you cannot allow certain things. Because it's not consistent with the ordination of royalty. It's because you are a priest. That's why you cannot allow circumstances to dictate finality. Because you know you too can consult heaven. It's because you are a son. That's why you cannot allow anything undermine you. Because you know you are a child. The son of the king. The heir of the kingdom. And it's because you are a witness. That's why you know you have a part to play. Because you must bear witness to God's faithfulness, witness to God's power, witness to God's wisdom. And it's because you are an ambassador. That's why you know that your end is not here. You are only representing the kingdom. So the interest of that kingdom is what dictates your purpose. You must know your identity. If you don't know it, fact will trap you. You can't look at me and say, you will not make impact in life. No, I'm a king. Kings reign. You can't look at me and tell me, whatever happens in Nigeria, that's your lot. Never. I'm a priest. I can access heaven. I can bring it down if it was not there. You can't look at me and tell me, well, did your father have it? Who do you know who my father is? I have father in the flesh, I have father in the spirit. And the last time I checked, spirit is superior to flesh. There is the father of all spirit who happened to be my personal father. So before you look in the natural and say your father doesn't have this, who told you you will have it? Hope you know who my father is. I'm a son. That's why when men give up, I can't. My father will come for me. He said, a mother may forget a suckling child. He said, God will forget you. I know something. My identity is intact. That's why, through my connection, I am wind, I am light, I am salt, I am fire, and I am a rock.
can't break me, sir. Try, you will waste your life. Praise God. Tonight, we want to look at a fourth way of routing reality. And we are looking at principles. Principles. There are different ways to access it. And we've talked about four of them. But tonight, I want to limit the scope to principles. There are kingdom principles that will open you up to reality, and it will become an everyday experience. And in the subject of accessing reality, this is where practice becomes critical. Because when it has to do with principles, it's not a miracle. It's something that must be practiced over and over and over again. And so I'm going to outline 10 major principles that open you up to functioning within the context and the corridors of reality. Number one is the principle of seeing from God's realm. You can choose to see from your realm, and you can also choose to see from God's realm. When you see from your realm, it's called sight. When you see from God's realm, it's called faith. If you will live in reality, why you are not ignoring fact or facts, you must master to refuse facts from dominating you. And the way you do it is to retune your consciousness to the realm of God. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 and verse 18, Paul began to tell us the reason why he was able to model so much power and impact was because he mastered the principle of seeing. He said, "For our light affliction," I wish I had time to show you what Paul called light affliction. Light affliction is man who was flogged 39 strokes 3 times. Light affliction is man who a day and a half fell into the ocean and was in the water. Light affliction is a man who was imprisoned many times. Light affliction is a man who was stoned to death. Are you seeing how people who live in reality function? The reason some of us can never access reality is because there is something in us that love pity and sympathy. So we exaggerate our problem until it dominates our consciousness for the trophy of sorry. And it reminds me of my children. Any little thing that happened to them, they will shout and shout and shout until you come and tap them and blow on it and say, "Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry." So it's not the pain. They are obsessed with attention and sympathy. That's why most of us have never accessed reality. Because we will deliberately exaggerate our problem so that the whole world can say, "Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry." And at the end of the day, we gain nothing. A man who was stoned to death, imprisoned many times, began by calling it light affliction. Number two, he had a consciousness that this affliction is not finality. He said, "It's for a moment. I may not have money, it's for a moment. You may underrate me, it's for a moment. The door may be shut, it's for a moment. It can never be considered as my final status." He said, and it's not just about it being for a moment. He said, even this problem, he said, it worked for me. So the problem is not working against me. Are you seeing the mentality of a man who lives in reality? He caused problem that should be a mountain, a light affliction. He caused problem that lasted almost for his ministry lifetime, a momentary affliction. And then he called it a worker of glory. "I may not have known patience until somebody wanted to waste my time. I may not have learned humility until somebody thought he was punishing me. At the end of the day,
it wasn't occasioned by God, but it worked out for my good. That's why even when they are in crisis, you see them smile. They know it's for a moment, and they know it's working out for their glory. But in all of this, look at his focus. He said, why we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen, he said, they are temporal. Quit thinking about sickness. Quit thinking about your failure. Quit seeking pity. You are not the only one who has lack. It's for a moment. What you should be doing, instead of wasting your time looking for who will tell you sorry, search from the book, what is the way out? Search. What is the way out? Wherever, whichever hole you found yourself in, there is a way out. So don't sit there and glorify the pit. Find the way out. He said, this thing is for a moment. I'm not focusing on it. I'm looking. Did you read one of the times when Paul was thrown into prison? The Bible said in Acts 16:25, at midnight, he said they were praying. They were singing praises to God. There is something he discovered about praise. That in the pit, instead of saying, what kind of thing is this? Am I the only apostle? What? I mean, what is? I have a very big God who is always by my side. A very big God who, by my side, by my side. A very big God who. A child. I know it's been 10 years since you got married. Instead of carrying a face of gloom everywhere you go for people to ask questions, that's not what you need. He said, Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. That means his focus was God's promise. He said he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory. I've seen people before who don't have children. They went and adopted one and started learning how to train children. Not too long, their own came. I've seen people before who don't have children. They bought children toys and children stuff and celebrating as if a child was already in the house. That means I am too persuaded of what God said. He said, none shall be barren in the land. I can't defy God. So instead of saying a circumstance is defiling you, you are the one saying, I can't defy God. He said, none shall be barren. I won't be the first. Fight. Fight. This is why mindset is everything. How you see and defy things is what will determine whether you remain where you are or you move. A friend of mine went to do a meeting somewhere. I think about 20 people came. And I said, wow. That means you now have a rich archive to speak of in the future. I said, hope you snapped it and recorded well. He said, yes. I said, in the next 7 years, that will be a talking point. This is how we started. You know, yesterday, they uploaded one of my pictures. And people were shouting, now you be this. I said, at this level, we have already come out of the cave now. At least now we have watch and shoe. Things were already happening. I was invited somewhere to master a ceremony. At least there is a little visibility. That was not wilderness. Yet, see how we looked. But even at that time, we stood like people addressing nations. Talking like wise men. Lord, why is my situation like this? Why am I not going anywhere? Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are unseen. See, those were the days when I will walk out and look as if I'm talking to nations. You are standing on the floor. You are seeing yourself in a stadium. Don't carry lamentations everywhere. The Bible calls it an evil heart.
What are you seeing? God sends people to take a land. You know how they saw themselves? As grasshoppers. He said the opposition were like giants. He said we were like grasshoppers. Is that a fact? Yes. But where is the reality? Why didn't you focus on the reality? He said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Why didn't you focus on reality? They were seeing grasshoppers versus giant, and they forgot that the creator of giant was behind them. You want to enter reality? You must doctor your vision. And that's why we meditate on the word of God. Because when you walk, the Bible said in Romans 15 verse 4, he said the things that were written aforetime, he said they were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. You know why? When I read and see that Goliath was 5 times bigger than David, but David was bold. When I confront a circumstance that is bigger than me, I won't see the giant. I will focus on boldness. That's why it is written. When I see the children of Israel in the wilderness, yet they didn't die of hunger. No matter the hunger I go through, I already focus on the God that produces manna. Now I have something else to look at. So the scriptures come to re-engineer my vision. When I see Joseph in the pit, then in the prison, but at the end of the day, he ended up in the palace. No matter who fights my promotion, it's no longer an issue. I'm not focusing on the person. I'm focusing on the one who moves men from the prison to the palace. That's how I re-engineer my vision. That's how I build my vision. When I see Noah, who was in a corrupt generation, yet live holy, I am no longer afraid of declaring that I can stand righteous. When I see Noah build an ark when there was no record of invention of that order, I know that wherever God sends me to, I can be creative. I can pioneer things. That's why when you see problems, you don't focus on the problem. You know the answer can come out of you. Because Noah produced it when it never existed. Your vision must be re-engineered. He said, I will stand upon my watch and I will see what he will say to me. So visions are actually caught. So I may not be thinking anything that is novel. No problem. I will stand on my watch and I will catch one. Habakkuk 2 from verse 1. I will catch visions. I will catch visions. This is who you are. Don't let what is apparent dominate your vision. If you will walk in reality, you must see differently. Where people see problems, see solutions. Where people see limitations, see possibilities. Where people see failure, see success. And the scripture, prayer and waiting upon the Lord, can help your vision. It will allow light to shine upon your eyes. Sit down for a moment. Number two, I'm just trying to rush because of our time. How do you break into reality? The principle of obedience. One of the vehicles that transports people from where they are to where they should be is obedience. James chapter 1, verse 22 to verse 25. You know, when you see, God will start instructing you. When you see, God does not begin to clap as though you have entered. Usually, the moment you see, process is activated. God begins to give instructions. And sometimes, those instructions are difficult or unreasonable. That is the reason why many have not entered destination. When God gives you an instruction that looks unreasonable or difficult, you now, instead of complaining, it should now make you realize the reason those at the top are not many. This is why. It was unreasonable to them. It was difficult to them. So the few who are able to keep it are the ones who eventually emerge. He said, be a doer of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know, when I was showing you the legalities of the realm, He looked so powerful. He took shame that I might take glory. He became poor that I might be made rich. He was sick that I may be... He took sickness that I may receive health. He was rejected that I might be accepted. He looked automatic. But there are deeper dynamics. If you will enter, you must master doing. You must master obedience. You know the reason many are not walking in reality? Their lives have become a catalog of seasons of disobedience. So they keep truncating it. Sometimes they know, they see, but they never enter. Because the bridge from where you are to where you should be is obedience. If you don't obey, you can't journey. He said, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. He said, see what he says about that man. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Because you can't keep it. You can't articulate it until you start doing it. The proof that you fear God is obedience. The proof that you believe God is obedience. The proof that you are persuaded is obedience. A man who is disobedient cannot prove that he loves God, cannot prove that he fears God, cannot prove that he believes God. He said, for whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the works. He said, that man shall be blessed in his deeds. You want to enter reality? You must become obedient. Eloquence is beautiful, but power is in obedience. It's in obedience that transformation takes place. It's in obedience that you experience the weight and the gravity of what God is saying. I cannot tell you what he will instruct you to do apart from the generic one captured in scripture. Of course, there are syllables beyond the generic things captured in scripture. So I can't tell you what he will tell you. But I can tell you, like Mary, whatsoever he said for you to do, he said, do it. Water can turn to wine. The wine is finished. What do you have? Water. Do you know the process of making wine? I would have invoked Dr. Godwin to help us here, to show you the chemical process of producing wine. You will know that starting with water alone is a joke. But with obedience, the ingredients, the process is all added. It's to fill the water jars with water. Number one, those jars are not for drinking. They are for feet washing. So it is unhygienic to start with. Number two, to get wine, starting with water is the wrong address. You start with money, then you ask where they sell it. And they say, fill it up. And they filled it up. Number three, even if you want to do something, do some charade to make us, let's be connected with you in faith. No prayer, no activity. Fetch from it. Okay, now that I have fetched, at least say drink. Let me and you bargain hygiene first. Before we can imagine what you are thinking. But what you are thinking is not right. So don't waste your... He said, take it to the governor of the feast. Only God knows the look on the guy who was taking it. The way the governor reacted will show you the anxiety in the environment already. And then he brought it. He said, what is this? Is it water, he will say, or wine? It's something. From where? They say, I should give you. Who? That man. To do what? Drink it. The governor of the feast. And when the man drank, he exclaimed. He said, others give the first wine first. So that when men are drunk and they are no longer concerned, you can bring anything. He said, but you have kept the best for the last. So the best wine came from unreasonable quarters. The best wine came from unreasonable process.
because obedience was there. Oh, Mary knew it. Whatever he tells you to do, he said, do it. He can speak to you through the word. He can speak to you through the spirit. And he can speak to you through his servants. At least the servants that he gave you witness that they are your prophets. If you want to walk in reality, believe and obey. He said in Job 36 verse 11, if you obey and serve him, it doesn't care about inflation or deflation. It doesn't care about territorial limitation. If you obey and serve him, he said you will live your years, your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. You can enter reality. Some of us, this our small brain has kept us in obscurity for too long. God talks, you say, wait. You allow the season to pass. God speaks, you say, no, I can't do it. And then you see the devil suddenly become powerful in your life. The devil is not strong. You can choose to make the devil strong, and you can choose to make God weak in your life. So God is sovereign. He can become the weak one, and the devil who is defeated can become the powerful one in your life. It depends on what you make both of them. The Bible says God is able to do, Ephesians 3:20, exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power at work in you. Meaning, if you don't think and don't ask, and if the power in you is not at work, God will not be able to do. Some of you, if you go through your life, go through your notes, you can tell many instructions you have violated, from prayer to service to giving to holy living, and you have violated them. You have been forgiven. The problem is that you can't ascend, because those acts of obedience are vehicles of transport. God can forgive you, but you will remain where you are. You will not move. This is the problem of many Christians. And so they keep pouring oil on their head, laying hands on them, attending all the prophetic and miracle services, and they are wondering why they are not becoming. Because their lives are full of disobedience. You want to walk in reality? Obedience must define your life. Number three, the principle of honor. If you dishonor God and the things of God, you cannot appropriate the realities of God into your life. Oh, we are in a generation of dishonor. Every peacock today is an authority with nothing to show. People go and open a YouTube page or a Facebook page, and they think they can address a generation with nothing to show. The Bible says you will know the truth. The truth will make you free. Meaning, the proof of truth is the product it generates. The Bible says wisdom is justified by her children. People that have no track record, both of serving God or of impact, want to instruct a generation where they should go. You can't take people beyond your own destination. And when you hear their idea of wisdom is dishonor, either for God or for the things of God. You know, some of them even think they are honoring God. But it's because they don't know. The Bible says you err because you know not the scripture. You can't claim to be honoring God and dishonoring the things of God. From the ways of God to the institutions and the authorities that God has put in place. You are insulting the church and you say you honor God. Every minister of God, I know there are people that have made a mess of the things of God. But every minister of God, you list them one by one, you tear them down. You say you love God, you know God, you honor God. What have you done for God since you love God so much? Give us your credentials. How many souls have you won? How many nations have you gone to bear witness for God?
How many things have you suffered for God? You wake up overnight. People who have borne the weight of the kingdom when it was not common, when it was not popular, they are the ones you want to use to shine because of media and your hypocrisy of body. They claim they have body, but they never translate that body to soul winning. You never catch them on the street preaching the gospel. You never see them go to places where it is dangerous to preach the gospel, to talk about God. They sit in a studio or hang on a comment session and they are communicating bodies. When David was being hunted by Saul, God put Saul into David's hand. And thank God David passed the test because his heart was being tried. Abishai told David, I won't strike him twice. Once he's a dead man. Once. I won't strike twice. Once he's finished. And David said, no, you cannot touch the Lord's anointed and be guiltless. You think people just rise that a shepherd boy became a king after the order of God? There are ordinances. I'm not saying we should adopt and accept error. But you who think you are so right with God and have authority to tear down his servant. And they don't even commend people. They just castigate. I showed you from the book of Revelation how God corrects. You see them quoting isolated scripture. They don't know the ways of God. When David cut Saul's garment to prove to Saul that God put him in his hand, the Bible said he smote David's heart, that he was audacious enough to tear the garment of Saul. David was touched for doing so. When Saul eventually died in battle, somebody who thought David would be excited, without being sent, ran to David full speed and said he was about to die, so I killed him. David said, what? You touch the Lord's anointed. He said, let someone fall upon him. And they killed the guy instantly. And the Bible said, David wept and lamented with ashes on his head from morning to evening. The same Saul. Look at you. You think people just rise by chance? There are ordinances. The issue is not about the people. It's about the state of your heart. It's about the condition of your spirit. I've been offended by people in authority before. Why I refuse everything they wish will happen to me, I also refuse to dishonor or to tear them down. People don't get to the top by chance. People don't rise into reality by chance. Because this thing is about authority. God will be careful what he can entrust to you. David was lamenting that Saul died. He said, cursed be the mountains of Gibeah. He said, you stood still in the day that God's anointed was slain. He said, tell it not in Gath. Proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon. Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice and the daughters of the uncircumcised be glad. Oh, he lamented. He said, Saul and Jonathan. He said, they were swift like eagles. The beauty of Israel has fallen in the battle. This is a man that wanted to give the... And you think, help that person. You think God will be looking at that kind of man and will not promote him? We are full of dishonor. And then there are those who outrightly dishonor God. That's why they become puppets in the hands of the devil. And others dishonor the ways of God. You talk prayer, they say, get up. What do you talk? What prayer? Prayer every day. Go to Japan, are they praying? Do you know the ways of the Japanese? Go to China, go to India, are they praying? Do you know their ways? Do you know how many gods are in India? Acting as if they are more civilized than the nation that they are visitors in. America, how many prayer are they praying? Do you know them? People that know God so much that they wrote God on their currency. In God we trust. You show up. You say, what prayer? Look at them. And they don't know they are dishonoring and despising God. Their end is destruction. It may appear as if they are doing well, but they will go down. Because you can't dishonor God and be exalted. He said, him that honors me, him will I also honor. He said, but him that despises me shall be lightly esteemed. You want to walk in reality, handling the things of God. Your heart must be full of reverence for God. Your heart must be full of honor for God. And you must show that honor in your words, in your actions. You must show it that you honor God. And as you begin to do it, you will be amazed the way the forces of the realm will begin to work for you. You will be so shocked. You will do something little. The way it will be facilitated, it will almost look as though God is biased towards you. But it's not. When you align to the ordinances, the realm begins to respond to you. You want to rise. You want to function where God has decreed that you will function. Your life must be full of honor. Some of us, our attitude in God's presence is almost a despise of His majesty. We do what we can't do before our bosses in God's presence. Somebody is going to see a man. He knows how to dress well. He knows how to prepare himself. He knows how to show courtesy when he meets that man. But when he's coming to meet God, he comes when he wants, he dresses anyhow he likes, and he violates courtesy. He knows very well the courtesy that God has panned out. But when he comes, he does what he wants. They say, sit here. I say, no, I don't want to sit there. I will sit there. But he can't go to the government house and do that. They are worshiping. They say, let everybody worship. He's starting. And he's thinking that the forces of the realm will work in his favor. No, it won't. You have dishonored the king. You have undermined in your heart the majesty of the one that is eternal. There's no way the realm will facilitate you. See this subject of honor. If we have time, we will deal with it precept upon precept to show you what God expects according to the standards of His honor. From your thoughts to your words to your actions. Some of us, even what we say we are giving to God to honor Him with, is the joke. We are coming before the Lord. We don't prepare our heart. We just stumble there. Now, if you are coming for the first time, you are not yet converted, it's a different thing. But you say you are a child of God. You know how to prepare overnight to see a governor. But you are coming before God's presence, you don't prepare your heart. You just stumble into the service. You are still calling while you are entering. And then you don't prepare to honor Him with your substance. When they say, hey, let's honor God. But all the quarters where you want to create impression, you know how to buy a package and design it and put whatever you put to honor God with, to honor them with. The Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance. Even what you give is a revelation of honor. We don't give God leftovers. Why? We are not talking about quantity and volume. Percentage and attitude is critical. How many of you, what you give to God, if you had the opportunity of meeting a king or a president or a celebrity, and you will give it to the person? That's why the realm is not responding to us. And we are wondering, why is it looking like this thing is not working? It works. But the precursor is the state of your heart. And your heart is wrong towards God. That's why you can't see it. I was taught these things by God. From university days, 100 level, when God began to teach me honor via giving. Give me 10 naira, it was a struggle. He moved to 20, moved to 1,000. Every mischievous way of dribbling God, I put it to work. But He didn't stop. When I now accepted that
I honor God through my thought. I started training my thoughts. I don't despise anything about God in my mind. Even if my mind tries to wander, I bring it back. See, there are times when I see people do certain things, I almost want to say, who is this clown? Then I remember. And I say, Lord, help them. I'm telling you. I don't just come and anything I have, I give for offering. It's prepared, sir. It's prepared. I prepared my heart. Even before coming for service, my heart is prepared. Ask my wife. I didn't step out of my room the whole of today. I'm coming for service. I have to wait in the presence of God to receive a word for myself and for the people. You don't just wake up and say, I know Bible, and come here. No. And Jotham prepared his way before the Lord. You think things just happen casually? Honor, honor, honor is the kingdom way for exalting people from the realms of limitation to the realms of reality. Number four is the principle of love. You want to walk in reality? Your heart will be vetted as to the degree of your love for God. I've quoted to you before, 1 Corinthians 16:22. He said, if you love not the Lord God, he said, you are anathema maranatha. You are an accursed thing. Oh Lord, I want to walk in your favor. I want to carry your power. It came to Peter in John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17. Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than this? He said, Lord, you know I do. He said, keep my love. Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than this? More than people, more than money, more than fame, more than things. He said, Lord, you know I do. Love me more than yourself. Lord, you know I do. Keep my love. Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than this? And Simon said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I do. He said, keep my sheep. Men don't rise into spiritual prominence, into spiritual realities by chance. There are ordinances. There are ordinances. You must demonstrate your love for God. And then you must demonstrate your love for his people. If you don't love God and you don't love people, there are things you will never be entrusted with in this kingdom. The Bible says, if you have what to eat, what to drink, where to lay your head, be contented with it. So basically speaking, what you need to live a good life is promised you. But if you are trusting God for great and mighty things, they are ordinances. Because most of them are entrustments. And the precursors for accessing those entrustments, one is love for God. You see, people who carry so much of God's presence, they demonstrate their love for God. In the place of prayer, they tarry there just to hear his voice. They demonstrate their love for God through obedience. And they said in John 14:21, John 13:35, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. I and my Father will come and abide with you. Oh, see, these things, they appear cheap, but they have protocols. God is not giving it to few people who are special. We are all children of God. We are special. But there are precursors. Some don't even love God enough to wait on him. Some don't love God enough to obey him. Some don't love God enough to serve him. You have to persuade them to come before God. And they are hoping that the realm of God will become the realm of their reality. When people accuse God and accuse the ordinances of the kingdom, they are always wrong. God is not a respecter of persons. His words are true, and in Christ Jesus, amen. If it's not working for you, there's something you have violated. If you think you can walk with God based on your convenience, you have not understood the subject of love. So there are people that anytime you see them doing something for God or walking with God, it's either they want to use God to get something, or that's the basic one they can do because it's convenient for them. The moment it becomes a sacrifice, they pull out. It no longer makes sense. They want to sit, cross their leg, let somebody else be invoking God, and let all their needs fall on their laps. We will be fraudsters in the house of God if that's all we think there is to the kingdom. This same God, some loved him to a point of martyrdom. They were killed for serving God's interest. The same God that basic instruction he gives today, we can't follow. Go out and win souls is the difficulty. That's the same God that people died for. And you read your Bible, you want to command what they commanded. Lovest thou me more than these. That's why the Bible said in Galatians 5:6, even your faith, he said, walketh by love. If you don't have love, even your faith won't work. You apply all the principles of faith, you'll be shocked that it will not work. When God proves and vetoes your love for him, you'll be shocked the ease with which you command the supernatural. The ease. The moment you stand there, the realm will vindicate you. I have found David, my servant. He said, he's a man after my heart. God knows those who love him. Our obsession with influence, our obsession with beauty, our obsession with money and pleasure, if we could channel and redirect 10% of it to God, our lives will change. Some people will stand in front of the mirror for 2 hours just to look good and go out. They will spend 1 hour trimming eyelashes. But stay with God for 10 minutes is a body. Obsession with beauty. They rub 5 types of powder on their face. 5. The wet one, the dry one, the colored one. While it is healthy to exercise, you'll be shocked that the reason some people go to gym is to reshape body part so that they can look good. Now, there's nothing wrong in looking good. But if that becomes so much of an obsession and it overrides your intimacy with God, then you are falling. See, sometimes I drive around my estate in the morning when I go out to do early morning businesses. 5 a.m. You'll see people running with short liquor. They are running. And some will never violate that schedule for a whole year. Health-wise, excellent. Looking good, not bad. But the question is, are you that committed to God? They can exercise 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. every day for 2 years. Nowadays, it's even strange body parts people are building in the gym. It's no longer liver, heart, lungs. You see somebody gymming, the size of his buttocks is editing. That one too is gym now. And he will do it for 2 years. Falling generation. But he can't pray for 30 minutes. Obsession for non-essentials. Some trek around forest in the midnight to go do sacrifice for money. Under the rain, under the sun, they are laboring to get money. Meet legitimate needs, excellent. But some is for the obsession of pleasure. Me too, I must go to Dubai. and I will snap picture. They will see I went there. Just shallow life. Shallow life. And then you read your Bible. You see those who love God, how they were immortalized. 390 days, Ezekiel was fasting and praying. 40 days, fasting and praying. How can you forget that man? His record will remain for all eternity. The woman came, broke the alabaster box at the feet of Jesus. The thief, Judas, said it should have been sold and given to the poor. Jesus said, the poor you always have. Allow her to express her love. He said, wherever this gospel is preached, her name shall be a memorial. You can't love God and you are forgotten. It's not possible. When Moses stood before him on Sinai, he became immortalized. That same sign of a shining face was Jesus demonstrated on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's why Moses said, a prophet like unto me shall the Lord send to you. He became an immortal. Can't do nothing for God. Always wanting to use God. And we create every structure to satisfy those criminal desires. That's why nobody's growing, nobody's becoming, and God can entrust things to people. So 1 million people surround one man. The question is, if you began like that, no problem. How come after 5 years, you're still like that? Nobody's growing. Everybody's coming to be buffeted things from God's realm. No wonder I said, even in the days of Moses, he said the children of Israel knew the acts of God. Moses was the one who knew the ways of God. You must re-engineer your life. I will live to obey God. Make up your mind. God will supply grace. You must re-engineer your consciousness. I will express love for God. You shouldn't be motivated to serve God, to come before God's presence. No. What are you living for? If you can't do it now, then don't plan going to heaven. It will be boring. Because that's all they are doing in heaven. They say pray you can, worship you can, fast you can, serve you can. So better go to hell. Because the only thing they are doing in heaven, day and night, forever and ever, is to worship Him. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. You can't do it here, so why are you planning to go to heaven? Doing nothing here, too busy for God. Well, we don't have time. Number 5 is the principle of sacrifice or sacrificial giving. You want to be entrusted with reality, you must master the art of giving and sacrifice. See, this subject has been bastardized in many quarters, especially because ministers of God, not love for money most of the times, anybody who is a man of God genuinely will not really have obsession for money. But most times it's because of elephant projects that God didn't send men to do. So every day they need to preach money for money to come so that they will do it and say it is faith. Most of the times, these men are not lovers of money. They just have obsession to do big things and boast in it. So this thing has been bastardized. But it doesn't mean it to be edited out of the oracles of God. Because the significance it holds is too critical. I have taught you here. Giving, number 1, reveals love. Matthew 6:21. It says, where a man's treasure is, it says that's where his heart is. Giving, number 2, reveals honor. Proverbs 3:6. Honor the Lord with your substance. Giving, number 3, is a demonstration of your faith in God. Give, it shall be given unto you. So the guy who is giving, no, he's not losing. It's an investment. Because it's as you bury the seed that it germinates. So it's an act of faith. Number 4, giving is responsible kingdom living. Because the agenda of God is facilitated by the sons of God. We are not waiting for a multinational company to organize crusades. They will never. We are not waiting for a multinational company to build places of worship. We are not waiting for multinational companies to carry out the kingdom responsibilities committed to sons. So if you read the Bible, God has always commanded his children to give for his agenda to be done. So every time people give, especially by revelation, is a sign of sonship and maturity. Because giving is kingdom responsibility. It's our Father's business. We commit to it. So, while it is bastardized, it is not sufficient reason for it to be edited out. Now, when you talk about giving, they say prosperity preachers. Just because everybody is playing to the gallery. So that when you say, I'm against prosperity preacher, they say you are the right minister. What is prosperity preaching? We are not talking materialism here. We are talking love for God. We are talking honor for God. We are talking demonstration of faith. We are talking kingdom responsibility for kingdom agenda to be fulfilled. Which part of it is prosperity preaching? Is it the fact that when you do it, it shows your heart of love, shows your heart of honor, shows your heart of faith, shows your maturity and responsibility, which becomes the basis for entrusting you with power over kingdom resources? Is that the prosperity preaching? They just talk what they don't know just to accept, receive human approval. And that's why most people who play to the gallery never become anything. Because the Bible said, if you seek the honor that comes from men, you can't have the honor from God. So after you, in a bid for people to clap for you, especially those who hate church, and you label every giving teaching as prosperity, they will clap for you, you will still be nothing. Because men can't lift you. But hear me, and hear me well. In this kingdom, if you will live from God's realm, you must imbibe as a lifestyle the principle of sacrifice or sacrificial giving. There's no way you can edit it out of the scripture. One of the ways you prove your love for God is in your giving. One of the ways you prove your honor for God is in your giving. One of the ways you prove your faith for God is in your giving. One of the ways you prove that you are a responsible son is in your giving. And these are some of the things God sees to entrust powers in this kingdom to you. Especially as it has to do with governance, establishment of God's purpose on a global scale. You can't escape it. Read your Bible. Was it man that initiated the subject? The first time people gave, God asked for it. Go and study your Bible. The Bible said, in the course of time, God called Cain and Abel to present an offering before him. And they went to so do. And God accepted the offering of Abel, but rejected that of Cain. Meaning, this is an economy in God's realm. Then, the patriarchs picked it up by revelation. And then we saw that Abraham, when he got the spoils of war, he gave it. So, it's not a human issue. This is an ordinance in the kingdom. How was God's promise to Abraham established? On the altar of giving. Genesis 22 from verse 1 to 12. He told Abraham, now you have that child that you have been looking for. To prove that you are not a user of God, bring him and sacrifice him. Abraham didn't argue once. He ran with Isaac. And God said, now I know that you fear God. Lord, are you not omniscient? I know, but it has to be proven. Then you go to Genesis 24 verse 1. Abraham was old and well stricken in years. The Lord had blessed him in all things. You can't rise to certain height if you don't master giving. You don't wait for people to preach you into giving. When I started growing and started becoming serious about the things of God, I divided my income and there was a portion for God. In fact, what I did was I called a banker who was a friend. He converted all the money meant for God into means. I will package it every Sunday and bring a portion to God. This same meat that God was struggling with to give, that was swindling God. I will drop my clothes at home and say, I didn't bring money to church. When I came into serious business, I didn't need a preacher. There is nothing I have not given. I've put my shoe in church and given as a seed. People here know me. I've removed my SIM card, dropped tablets, dropped phones. These were the best things I had. As a youth copper, 70 to 80% of my alawi, I gave it. They just see you, they are this man of God. You think you can just be wealthy as a man of God? You open a church. It's not about what you are doing, it's about the principle and the covenant you are living by. There are many men of God who have shut down and run from ministry. There are many men of God dying, high blood pressure. They can't meet bills. You think the people you are talking to are morons? There is a power that moves them. Because you have subscribed to it in covenant and in principle. People don't give. If you lie, preach about giving, they won't give. Unless that spirit gives them light. Unless that spirit moves them. But for that to happen, you must first of all satisfy that requirement by first of all believing it and doing it. In this kingdom, there are ordinances. There are 5 laws of greatness in the kingdom. 5. One of it, the Bible said, whoever believes and teaches this truth, he said, he shall be considered great in the kingdom. He said, but whoever does not believe or teach it shall be the least in the kingdom. So men of God become great because we believe and teach it. If we don't do it, even if we teach it, it won't work. So if you want to be or to live in that realm of reality, realm of abundance, realm of health, realm of encounters, realm of sufficiency, you can't violate these ordinances. Some of us, since January, we have not given to God as an act of honor. We have not given for kingdom advancement. We have not given even to our parents. Then, the poor, we have not given. Everything is about me, I, and us. So your word reduces to your size. Give to God, they say they want to steal. Or yeah, give to your parents. That one too, they have excuse. Or yeah, give to the poor. Which poor? All of us are poor. You will be poor because you said so. But it's not your portion. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Proverbs 11:25. Him that watereth shall by himself be watered unto. I can show you how I shifted using the pathway of sacrifice. There are too many. See, sometimes we don't teach it because if you start teaching it, it will stir people to do crazy things. So we just give you the light from scripture and leave you with it. Ask the people who are here. Even in ministry, traveled for 1 year, gathered all my honorarium, went and gave it to my spiritual authority as a seed. You think people? Awake. This is not you buying anything. This is you proving your right, your heart posture of love, of honor, of faith, of maturity in the things of the kingdom. So you can be entrusted to. Or entrusted with. Finally, because of time, principle of service. And that brings me to the second thing that makes great in this kingdom, or make great in this kingdom. It said in Mark 10:43. Whosoever shall be great among you, he said, he must become the minister or the servant of you all. If you want to handle reality, believe me, one way or the other, fight to serve. Service is not for small people. Service is for great people. You know, service and giving are the two kingdom exercise that God uses to check everything about you. Your love, your passion, your maturity, your understanding, the grace on your life. Everything is probed when you are serving. And all of that is probed when you give. You cannot amount to anything in this kingdom if you don't serve. Jesus said, even the Son of Man, he did not come to be served. Rather, he came to serve. If you will amount to anything in this kingdom and walk in the reality of who God says you are, you can't remove service from your life. My friend was telling me 3 days ago, he said, how come you were doing these things we didn't notice? He said, God gave you this light early. God gave you early. Those days, you will see me, every program, I will carry envelope. It looked like I didn't have. And then there's a program, I'm running, looking for where to serve. Even when God started giving me little popularity, people will come looking forward to meeting me. I'm either washing toilets somewhere, or I'm on the desk receiving first timers, or I'm driving ministers to check them into hotels. That's all I do. Till today, if we go out for meetings, I don't know when I start serving. I forget I'm the lead apostle. You can't come before the King of Kings and you are thinking you are something. You can't be elevated. You must refuse to be idle. Serve God and serve your generation. You will see the God who adopted that part of service will now begin to empower you for it. Why do you think some of us hardly fall sick? It's not just faith. There's too much on my table for me to be sick. Imagine there is a meeting and then they say apostle can't come, he's sick. See how many engagements I have in-house here alone. Tuesdays, Sundays, I have to preach. And then we have prayer programs running almost every night. Apart from the many other things we do. And then you balance that with your travel ministry. Flying from nation to nation, different time zones, eating different kinds of food, and fighting different battles. But you return like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. Because the one who sent you to serve will empower you for it. In that service too, your heart will be tested. Do you know how many people have offended me, accused me, misrepresented me in this part of service? Ask those who have known me for 10, 15 years. There's no time to be offended. Some people get offended, they go and they move into oblivion. I had many seasons that it was legitimate for me to be offended, but I knew the power of service. You don't quit service. You are commissioned to higher service. Offended to go where? What we are doing now is this service. But of course, it has different levels. Now we serve and we are blessed with things that others are angry that we are blessed with. You go best tire. Your anger cannot change it. Do you know when we went to preach in terrorist zones? Did you follow us when we went to preach in territories where there was no light or water? Did you follow us? Now, they bring us to preach this same gospel. They fly us. You are offended. You have not seen anything. You think your wickedness can stop God's blessing? You think we started here? Now you sit in your house just loving God. They drive in and say it's yours. Somebody is now offended. See the car they are driving. Should we be trekking all our lives? Now hear this. If the kingdom has need, we are willing and we have done it too many times. We give it for the kingdom. But there's no law written anywhere that we should suffer to death. How do we prove to you that this God is merciful? What is wrong with you? You hate God, you hate his servant, and you think the only way to prove to you that we are servants of God. Even Jesus, who was trekking all his life, the day he sat on a cord, they started complaining. Why are they putting clothes on the ground? Why is he sitting? Why not follow him to the cross? Those who were complaining when he was riding on the cross, when he was now naked on the cross, they were not there. And they are acting as if they love you, as in they love God. I'm not talking materialism or rubbing it on people's face that you have. But come on. God blesses those who serve him. If you obey and serve him, you will live your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. See, look for a way to serve God. All of us may not serve him the same way. For instance, everybody here can't serve him the way I'm serving him. Some of you are business people. Some of you are in the academia. Some of you are in media. Some of you are in the armed forces. You won't be ordained a preacher. But you can serve. First, you can serve in-house. Look for a department. Play a role there. You can be in the sanitary. You can be in the ushering. You can be in the protocol. And then, if you are not serving there, join the partnership arm. Serve with your resources. There are people that give for every service. Every service. They are serving. Or join the prayer unit. They pray by weekends. Join them and pray. There are different ways to serve. And then on a personal level, serve by going out to win souls. Serve by representing God in your sphere of influence. But by all means, serve. You can serve through your expertise and energy. You can serve through your resources. You can serve through your intercession. But you must serve. Don't outgrow service. If you outgrow it, your limitation has been benchmarked. See, this truth we are teaching, it's not all that begins and ends with prophecy or laying on of hands or the anointing. Some are principle oriented. You model humility through service. When God sees it, he exalts your horn. You model faithfulness through service. When God sees it, he lifts you up. You model love for God through service by enduring offenses and serving when it is difficult. God sees it and exalts you. So if you have expertise, deliver it in service. You have energy, deliver it in service. You have time, deliver it in service. You have money, deliver it in service. That's how we live in reality. In my service, I've had encounters. In my service, I've had gifts and giftings activated. In my service, my heart has been tested, offense, accusations, and it promoted me. In my service, I've had to give resources. But at the end of the day, no one who serves goes down. It will always lift you to higher layers of glory. Plan it. Commit to it. You will see how God will lift you. See, there is a way God lifts you. Like the psalmist said, your cup will overrun in the presence of your enemies. It's not all the time your enemies need to die or the devil needs to be bound. No. They are present, but they can do nothing about your eyes. You know how many devils want me sick? But they can't make it happen. You know how many devils want me to fail? They can't make it happen. You know how many devils want me bankrupt? They can't make it happen. I give too much for kingdom advancement for me not to have. Money in my hand is a trust that God can use. I'm a divine trust. So he keeps channeling it. You'll be offended. You can do nothing about it. And we are just starting. Hiya, hiya. Hey. Hey. Hiya, hiya. Let me add this.
is the principle of declaration. See, you cannot enter reality with your mouth shut. Those who live there, they talk their way there. And you are in talking your way, you don't beg your way there. You decree your way there. The Bible said in Job 22, 24 and 25, it said, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. If you want to see any reality, declare it. Decree it. He said, where the word of the king is, there is power. You have been made kings and priests unto God. If you keep quiet, your reality will not be born. Every reality you want to see, is either you catch it when God says it, or you declare it to come to pass. Did you not read your Bible? When God wanted to change the reality of dry bones to an army, God was present, there were still dry bones. Until he told the prophet, he said, can these bones live? He said, only thou knowest. He said, yes, they can. Now, this is the technology. Mortal man, make declarations. And the guy said, I decree as I was commanded. God can command you by talking, and God can command you through the Bible. So there are times when you carry the word and you proclaim it. I am the head, I am not the tail. I am the head, I am not the tail. I lay up gold as dust, the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't fall because my God sustains me. If you don't decree, you will not see. See, some of you depend on the declarations I make here every Sunday. It's good, but it's not enough. It's not enough. They said, you shall decree. Do you know the ticket God gave you there? He said, you. He didn't say somebody for you. He said, you, this you. You shall decree a thing. And he said, it shall be established. I don't know how it shall be established. My commandment is to what? Decree. You shall decree a thing. He said, I, the Lord, I perform the words of my servant. I confirm the counsels of my messengers. Decree a thing. You know the problem with some of us? Lamentations, murmuring, uncertainty are the only things we know how to say with our mouth. It's not working. I'm a failure. I've tried everything. Nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. And nothing keeps happening. Habakkuk 2 from verse 17. As I round up, Habakkuk 2 or 3:17. Help me quickly. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither fruit in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no head in the store. This is a waste, an empty and unhappening life. But hear the guy. Yay! 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 I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Nothing may be working. I will not say it. If the dumb man be cast down, you say there is a lifting up. When men are cast down, he didn't deny that men are cast down. Yes, they are cast down. But I will say, my home is working. My ministry is working. My life is working. Money is coming. I live holy. I won't lose my fire. I will say. I will never be the same. Yeah.
any area of your life where you have not entered reality, first thing, go and open the book. Find out. You need to see what God said so that you repent your vision. Then number two, as you do that, begin to engage God. Let an instruction come. Obey it. Then number three, honor God. Honor His servant. Honor His ordinances. Number four, serve. Look for the opportunity to serve God. Serve His grace. Serve His anointing. Serve His spirit. And then number five, begin to declare those things. Those things you saw. Those things you don't believe. Declare them. One of the things I've come to master in life is to decree. Oh, we decree. We decree. Every 9 p.m., apart from Tuesday and Sunday, we just pray for 1 hour. And when we pray, we decree. Every week we have testimonies. From cancers disappearing, to financial break to open doors, to all kinds of restoration. We just decree. We just decree. See, sometimes lie on your bed, chewing tongues. When your spirit is charged, write out every area you need change. Start decreeing. My son is wise. The gate of money is open. The gate of nations are open. Ministry is thriving. Fire has come. I live only in a perfect world. I am taking over. Hey, I am taking over. I am the head and not the tail. And the joy of many generations. Many have risen against me. They said there's no hope for me. My God, you are my shield. Lift your hands toward Him. Master these things I have taught you. See, there are many principles, but these ones are personal principles that God taught me growing up. That's why I'm teaching you. I don't see how others see. If I see like that, I won't be here. There were people who wrote us off. They look at you, Beck, who told you can be anything? When they said it, we said, well, that's your opinion. We are seeing ourselves differently. Oh my God. And then when God speaks, we latch onto it. Many times we failed Him. When we fail, we apologize, we repent, and we ask for grace to continue. We fail again. We apologize. We repent. We ask for grace until we got it. We were not perfect, but we refused to remain down. The righteous falleth 7 times. 7 times he rises again. Even at this level, I'm still failing instructions. But when I fail, I apologize. I repent. I ask for grace. I continue. And then we serve. We don't wait for people to serve our God for us. All of us serve Him together. And then we honor. We honor God. We honor His ways. We honor His ordinances. And we honor His grace and His men. You think some of us are timid?
we were delivered from arrogance. And that deliverance has not even finished. If it's for arrogance, I can talk to anybody anywhere. We are the type of people that can say, go to hell. You can do nothing. When you see us bend our head and honor those who are more than us or those who carry grace, we learned it. We are not looking for favor with people. But this is a principle for rising. And then we learn to love God with all our heart. We love Him. And then we decree, we declare, we decree, we declare. I am literally recreating my word by the word of God and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is not how I used to be. And this is not where I'm stopping. Building every day. Can I give you 1 minute to make some declarations? Any area you want to break into reality. In 1 minute, 1 minute. Tonight that God wants to bring you into reality. Some of you, all you have known all your life is weakness. Now God wants to awaken strength. Weakness in the area of sin. Weakness in the area of the mind. Weakness in emotional corridors. Weakness in diverse areas. Until you have even been underrated, it has become your identity. Now God wants to show you strength. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord, they renew their strength. There is a system of strength renewal. Wherever you are standing now, I proclaim over you, by the authority of the priesthood of the endless life, right now, every area of weakness, mental weakness, financial weakness, emotional weakness, spiritual weakness, moral weakness, now let strength, the strength of the Almighty, let it be activated from within you. Hey! The last time you fail is the last.
Jesus Christ. A little one shall become a thousand. A small one shall become a great nation. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let no one in Zion say, I am weak. Makorata Separida. He has broken the bows of the mighty. Pansarata Kataria. He lifted the beggar from the dust, the poor from the dunghill, to establish them among princes, to inherit thrones. Right now, diverse areas, receive the strength of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, you look around you, every door is shut. Not one has been opened in the last 5 years, in the last 7 years. Not doors of relationships, not doors of ministry, not doors of finances, not doors of nations. Every door has been shut. You have exercised yourself, you have exerted effort, but it looks like a man standing in the mud. The more you struggle, the more you think your salvation has come. In the name of Jesus, I stand. I stand by the voice of the Almighty that speaketh like thunder. I command every door shut against you. They break open now. I decree, I declare, I proclaim over you. Let the doors open. I decree a pattern, hither and thither. Open up now. Local doors, national doors, international doors, intercontinental doors. I decree in the name of Jesus, they open now. Doors of relationship, doors of finances, doors of supernatural encounters, doors of favor, doors of wisdom, doors of ministry, doors of opportunity. I decree in the name of Jesus, they open now. And every adversary that has withstood you. Now, this is the hour. I command them to be bound. I command them out of your way. Go forth by the Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Before this week is over, it will be evident that not one, not two, many doors have opened. I said many doors will be confirmed open. On ground, online, many doors are confirmed open. Break into your reality now. Finally, horns are about to be exalted. God wants to bring you into something that will open up your authority. Authority in diverse spheres. Some of you is in ministry. Some of you is in business. Some of you is in the academic. Some of you is in media. But I see horns about to be exalted. You know, there are powers of limitation. From ignorance to fear to demonic forces to systemic forces. But you see, there are also other powers that exhort horns. One of it is the power of a fresh oil. It said in Psalm 92 verse 10, my horn, O Lord, hast thou exhorted as the horn of the unicorn, because you have anointed me with a fresh oil. There is a grace, there is an oil, there is a dimension that is about to come upon some of you now. And the errand is for the exhortation of horns. The places where you suffered reproach, the places where you suffered rejection, all that there is an anointing, it will come on seven of them now, because it's a sign of an end and a sign of covenant. In the name of Jesus, carriers, carriers of exalted horn, some by the instrument of the fresh oil, some by the instrument of encounters, some by the instrument of divine decrees. Wherever you are standing now, let that horn begin to grow. Let that horn begin to grow. Let that horn begin to grow. From the left to the right, from the front to the back. Oh my God, boundaries have been enlarged. Corridors are opening up. Spares have been made available. Let the horn grow. Let the horn grow. Receive it now. Usher, bring seven of them here. Exhortation of all. Four women, three men. This is a sign. Wherever you are standing, authority in the market, authority in the academic, authority in ministry, authority in territories. Marete, Kaparuna, Sabina, Pepele, Katanata. I see that oil. It's not about shouting. It's not about charisma. It's not about activity. It's about gaining rank. If your horn is not exalted, have the best charisma, you will go nowhere. But when your horn is exalted, new spheres, new atmospheres, new dimensions, new corridors, they become accessible. See, I know it by experience. There are many places that aforetime we will go to sit down to learn. Today they call us, say, come and teach here. Horn has exalted. You can't get it by lobbying. You get it by stature. And God is, for some is new oil, fresh oil. For some is new encounters. For some is new instructions. For some is new impartation. Whatever you need for a horn that grows, for a horn that gains height, for a stature increase, I stand now by mercy and I decree, let it come upon you now. Lift your hands and receive.
you, new territories are being added to you. For some of you, new dimensions are being added to you. By the Spirit of the grace that exalts horns. From today, beyond activities, beyond shouting, beyond charisma, begin to see diverse expressions of authority. Ministry will be frustrating without horns being exalted. You can be in one spot for 30 years, making the same impact, struggling with the same challenges, except as horns are exalted. That business, there are many rooms you will never enter, except as horns are exalted. See, when horns are exalted, sometimes it happens like coincidence. You are on a flight, you meet somebody, before you know what is happening, you are sitting on the same table with your mentors. And now you are discussing as colleagues. They are fascinated by you and they are offering to partner with you. And you just fold your hand. All by yourself, you are watching a miracle happening before you. In the name of Jesus, I decree in 7 days, may that horn be exalted. It will bring you into new corridors. It will aggregate unto you new territories. It will release unto you new grace. It will open up new dimensions. Receive it now! The same David that in his own family they considered 7 before him, they didn't even consider him, suddenly he's sitting and negotiating with Saul about the deliverance of Israel. How? Saul said, you are a youth, but a youth is sitting with a king. They bypassed the whole army. It was a youth that was now discussing with the king. And the king said, okay, take my armor. He wore it and dropped it. I don't need it. I will go in the spirit of grace. Somebody will go in the spirit of grace. I say you will go in the spirit of grace. Those of you in business, you will sit with the greatest captains of that industry. But you will go in the spirit of grace. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you in ministry, you will sit with your fathers in humility, but advancing kingdom corporately. But you will go in the spirit of grace. Receive that impartation now. Oh, men that will write and nations will read. Men that will speak and gates will open. Step into those dimensions now.
Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Elohim Adonai,
Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Elohim Adonai,
thy kingdom, thy will be done.
Elohim Adonai.
Let it be written, and so let it be established in the name of the Lord Jesus. Many captains of industries have just emerged. Many generals of the faith have just emerged. Many leaders of our nations have just emerged. Many custodians of graces, mysteries, and dimensions have just emerged. And in the name of Jesus, you are numbered. From today, let the days, the hours, the seconds become unfolding frequencies and progressions of your manifestation. For you, it will no longer just be chronology. Every second, every minute, every hour, every day, and every year will be a progressive unfolding of your manifestation. You have entered the corridor of greatness. And it shall be from glory to glory. It shall be from power to power. It shall be from grace to grace. And it shall be from mercy to mercy. Come on, somebody.
When we cry, yes,
chant those hands. Chant those hands. Give the Lord the song. It's the Lord, the people praising. And the earth shall yield her increase. We command the earth to submit. We command the systems to submit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Any corridor, any sphere you enter from today is commanded to submit to you. Systems submit to you. Territories submit to you. Nations submit to you. Realms submit to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, give the Lord a big shout. Sounding like somebody who knows he has shifted. Hey!
Hey!
In Jesus' mighty name. Take your seat in God's presence. My God. Eraro Sadina Antragastis. Regedigo Saragandra Istra Vahadia Unda Shalamandos. Glory to God. Mangro Parahastos Tafragido Sandakas Taliva Astis. Your lives will never be the same. Say, some of you, as you leave this service, you will function like a star. You are kingdom stars. You will become an effulgence of the manifestation of the grace of God. Diverse graces. Brakizondo, fragadistas. Things that were impossible or are impossible for others, you will do it with ease and casually. Territories that are insurmountable, from physical geography to systemic corridors, media, banking, academic, you will enter and tear it open. It's your time. I say it's your time. Arise, shine. Your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Arise, shine. Your light is come. Glory.